real press.
Sorry, Chris?
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank Elio for inviting me back here. It's good to be back. So the Chabura is up to us in Kuf Yadalet. Talks about Sheikh Shal Evet Kechavim. Whether it's Sheikh Shal Tamar, which was date beer, which they used to drink, and fig beer, and barley beer, and all sorts of grain beer. It's all asum shem chasnos. You can't drink it with the goyim, but if you take it to go, so there's no issues with bishul akum by beer. One is 100% allowed to bring beer. The shach gives two reasons for that. One is either because it's not ayla shachum lachum. Another one is the same reason why we make shahakol, so it's like almost like mayim. So beer made by non-Jews is going to be mutter to drink. The question is nowadays, what is exactly beer, and how should we look at it? You know, many times we might be by a Shalom Zachar, might be by a little for bringing, we might be by some fundraiser, and there's all sorts of options to what to drink, and many people, if not most people, assume that if it's being served by somewhere where there are Jewish people serving it, then it's going to be fine. So, a few years ago, I did give a little bit more in-depth shiur on the technical kashrus of beer, how it's made, and what are potential issues. Today, I want to focus specifically on the issue that I just brought up, is that it could even be a restaurant, I should mention. You're at a restaurant, you're at a Shalom Zachar, you're at a party, all Jewish, all kosher, and then there's a bottle of beer or something that looks like beer, and you want to know, is this something that I can drink without running into kashrus concerns? So, just a quick, very, very quick, beer is made of four basic ingredients. It's malted barley, for the most part. There's also wheat, oats, rye, other grains, but malted barley. There's hops, which is a plant, it's a flower that helps either balances out the sweetness and also adds bitterness or other aromas and other flavors. But again, it's not a flavor, so it won't be an issue. A lot of times people pick up a beer and it says, it tastes notes of grapefruit or citrus or tangerine, and they're like, oh, can I drink this beer? You know, it's flavored. So it's not necessarily flavored. You have to be able to decipher the label. That's the hops, and there's the yeast and the water. So those are the four basic ingredients. So those ingredients in and of themselves are always kosher. If those ingredients are in the beer, then one doesn't have to worry. Well, when one does start have to worry is when there are flavors in the beer. And that's really what I'm going to focus on in the next, 10-15 minutes. So I want to start off with a non-beer drink, which is coming very popular. If anybody follows the news, Bud Light just put out something called Bud Light Seltzer. Now, the reason for that is that hard seltzer, it's about 5%. It's basically, it tastes like sparkling vodka. It's like a Smirnoff type of drink. And the popularity of it has gone up through the roof. The amount of product that's moved is in the billions of dollars in the past year. Started off a couple of brands, but now such heavyweights such as Bud Light are putting out Bud Light Seltzer, and these seltzers are always flavored. They're not going to be able to mask the alcohol with just some carbonation, so they're always flavored. I was actually at a fundraiser in the summer, and there was some hard seltzer, and it wasn't kosher certified, and it was flavored. And people went ahead and drank it, because like I said, it's being served at an event, which is kosher. So what is the issue? So I don't really know the process exactly how it's made, but the reason why it bears discussion over here is because, first of all, in America, it's in the beer category. They consider beers doing much better now because of hard seltzer, especially Sam Adams, which everyone should be happy to know that they make a hard seltzer. It's called Truly Spiked Seltzer, and it's kosher certified under the Star K. So everyone, if you need to scratch that itch, you can go drink Truly, and there's also one more kosher certified brand, Henry's Hard Seltzer. All the other brands, as far as I know, are not kosher certified, and they're all flavored. Now, what could be wrong with flavoring? Okay, so that's just like one of the, that's one of the biggest issues facing beer, kosher consumers, when it comes to beer right now. So that's something to keep in mind. The other thing is that there are other FMBs, which stands for flavored malt beverages, which are also in the beer category. Mike's Hard Lemonade is famous. People for years have been wanting to drink Mike's. Now there's other hard lemonades and hard teas and other hard kombuchas, all sorts of flavored malt beverages, which all can and do need our potential issues with kashrus. Moving on to beer, there are so many beers nowadays. A bunch of years ago, one of the large organizations, kashrus organizations, said that one should never drink any microbrewed beer because the breweries need to stand out and they need to and therefore they're causing them to do crazy things like brew beer with non-kosher ingredients. Yes, that is a very concern. What I see, it's getting less and less of a concern as opposed to a larger concern as we move forward. It happens to be a local brewery, pretty local in Pearl River, Defiant Brewery. They actually just brewed a beer with squid, which is like octopus ink or something. And I would, it sounds disgusting. It probably tastes disgusting. And The point is that yes, it does occur, and one does have to be on top of it. But I'm not going to be focusing too much time on that. There is a lot of out there on that already. But nowadays, every single brewery is coming out with flavored beers. Every single one. There's no such thing as a brewery that's not coming out with flavored beers. Now, another big flavor that brewers are brewing with is actually grapes. It's something that's coming more and more popular. So I'm not going to get into if that can affect other beers, but the actual beer itself that's made, sometimes it's very obvious. It says beer-wine hybrid on it, or it says added with grapes, brewed with grapes, fermented on grapes. I actually one time bought a beer, brought it home, and only after looking online did I notice that there is grapes in the beer. Now, this beer would have been 100% Stam Yenom, 100% Usser to drink. No one would tell you otherwise. And again, when one's out there, looking around, I'm not even talking about in the store, but by an event where people have their guards down because they assume everything was taken care of already, there is a potential that there might be a beer with grapes, and that's going to be an issue. So I wrote a list of some of the flavors that are added, and we could go through all of them individually. Another point before I go there is that there is another new trend of non-alcoholic beer. Because people want to be functional, they want to be active, and non-alcoholic beer fits into that trend. So I don't know too much about non-alcoholic beer either, but the basic premise is that they brew the beer and then they remove the alcohol. There is one brewery that I heard about that they brew it, they stop the fermentation at like 0.5%, so it's considered non-alcoholic. But there is a big, well-known brewery that has recently put out a non-alcoholic beer, and also, from what I heard, put a lot of money into the advertising. That's Heineken. Heineken has a 0.0 non-alcoholic beer, and according to this, one of the big kashrus organizations, it's not recommended. The reason is because they want to have it taste as similar as Heineken as it could. So when they took out the alcohol, they added natural flavors to the non-alcoholic beer, in order that it should taste as much as Heineken as you remember. Now, the natural flavors is like a time bomb. It's a bomb. It's like it could mean really anything. So that is with that the word natural flavor is means screaming stay away. I just saw an article came across the FDA, which is the food the government organization that it's on top of the food that's produced in America. Natural flavors can be really anything as long as it's considered natural. And there are even some chemicals which are natural, for surprisingly. But the idea is that someone can take something which tastes nothing like what the product they're presenting, but they're allowed to put it in natural flavors and there's no problem with the FDA. Now, the TTB, which is the Tobacco and Trade Bureau, which is in charge of the beer and the alcohol in America, they're even less concerned about these type of things. There are rules, but there are also a lot of loopholes around the rules on what they have to put on the labels. And when it says natural flavors on a beer, I would really stay away. And a lot of these beers do say natural flavors. And the reason is you have no idea what they're putting in there. Now you want to know what could be the problem. We can start with basic things like it could be milk, it could be dairy, and they don't have to list that if they don't want to. There's no allergen information necessary to put on alcohol at this point. It can be wine or grapes, which is, like we mentioned, will be a problem. And of course, it can go much more. It could go much worse than that. But the idea is that they really don't have to disclose what's in there. So when it says natural flavors added, one should really stay away from there. Now, now that I mentioned this, I really want to. People a lot of times tell me what could be the issue, right? Somebody one time told me he went to his Rebbe's house, and the Rebbe served Bud Light Lime, and which was back in the day was like the famous flavored beer. I don't know if they still make it. And he went over to his Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, the such and such organization says it's not recommended to drink. How can we have it? And he says, if you don't like it, don't drink it. But in my house, it's okay. Now, I don't know. People say, what could be wrong? It's just lime. Bud Light, it's a huge company. They're not. I actually preface this with a story. I recently was upstate New York and I stopped in at a brewery. And I spoke to one of the owners, and they told me that this beer is a peach beer. I said, listen, I tried to avoid flavored beers. Can you please tell me more about it? And they told me that this beer is aged on peaches from a farm down the road. And I'm like, what did you do? She said, we had to de-pit it. They had to take out all the pits, and then they used the peaches. I'm like, wow, that must have been difficult. And she said, yes, it really was. And this was a very small batch beer, so they had to, even though for them it was a pain in the neck, but they still did it for whatever reason they were trying to do it. But when a much larger brewery is not going to be sitting there taking out the pits of hundreds and thousands of peaches, they're going to use some sort of flavor, whether it's a puree, whether it's a natural flavor plus added flavors. It's the biggest issue is the unknown. We don't really know what they're putting in to these beers to flavor them the way they say they're flavored. And to assume that just because it says lime or the such or raspberry or strawberry that it's going to be kosher just because it sounds like a natural product, it's wrong to assume that. I actually called up a person who used to give ashgacha to, at that point he was giving ashgacha to a brewery in America, and the brewery still is kosher certified. This person is not the Rav Machshir there anymore, but he was an accessible person. I reached out to him, and one of the beers that they produces a beer with cherry. So at that point he told me that it's proprietary information, I'm allowed to share it, but since the brewery has released this information on their social media accounts, so I guess I'm allowed to talk about it, but it's cherry. So I said, you know, they're taking this beer, it says aged on cherry, so they're not actually putting the cherries when they brew it, they have barrels and they're putting the beer with cherries in it. So I said, what could be wrong with that? It's just cherries. So he says they're not using cherries, they're using some sort of canned product. And again, this information was released by the brewery, but the idea is that it's a canned or pureed. And anyone who knows anything about kashrus, that some of these facilities that produce, they produce cans, they have one big room where they produce all the cans at one time. I mean, if it's heat treated with heat, so you in the same room you can have a can with shellfish or other non-kosher ingredients, and then you can have a puree of fruit in the same room, and if it's all cooked at the same exact time, there will be kosher issues. It's the same. We look at it as if it's being cooked in the same oven. And I mean, I'm not getting into the nitty gritty because I don't know all the details, but I do know that any such food would be an issue. So that's one of the big issues with purees. That even if they tell you they're only using a raspberry puree or a strawberry puree or orange extract, these things, there's so many other added ingredients. For one to assume that just because it's natural, it's kosher, to me it seems a little bit crazy almost. But yet, wherever you go, and I'm not trying to, you know, say people are bad, it's just people have the ignorance, they assume that it's not a problem. So, you know, one really should be careful when at public events and looking at the beers, whether to look for a hechsher. Not every beer needs to be kosher. There are many beers that are fine without a hechsher. And anyone can ask me afterwards if there's a beer that they like. I can tell you if it's kosher or if it's not. But the idea is just because it's fruit is wrong. You know, it's something that one should be careful with. I'm just going to run through a couple of other flavors. Somebody actually sent me a text. This is going back a little while. Somebody sent me a picture. It was Matzah Shabbos. It was Lav Malka. And he sent me a picture of this beer. It's called Southern Tier Brewing Samoa This Imperial Stout. It's a dessert beer. Ale brewed with pink Himalayan sea salt, natural chocolate, coconut, and caramel flavors added. And he was with a group of Jews, and there were people drinking this because it was being served. And again, like I said, everyone has the guard down when it's being served to them, as opposed to when they're buying it. And I think that they were serving fleishigs, and I don't know, natural chocolate and caramel, coconut, there could be there's even dairy in there. So forget about who knows what exactly is in this beer. There's a very strong possibility that this beer was dairy, and they were drinking it together with fleishigs. So this is a real concern. So I'm just going to run through some of the other issues, and then anyone can ask any questions. So another popular ingredient they started adding is nuts. One of the this type of beer, this dessert beer, is a very big rage in America. It's one of the biggest popular beers. It's called pastry stout. They make dark beer with dark roast dark roasted malts, and they add all sorts of flavors, and it's a lot of times meant to imitate candy bars or different desserts. So a lot of times they add nuts. Now, I actually just checked up the CRC's rules with nuts, and they said if it's in its raw, most basic form, then nuts do not need a kosher certification. But if they're roasted in any roasted or any other form of cooked, then they do need a kosher certification. So if there's a beer which is being brewed with nuts, then it would be an issue. Honey, somebody just WhatsApped me on Erev Shabbos, sent me a note, voice note, that they want to know about a certain honey whiskey. So I wanted to clarify with him. He said, there's Evan Williams, they make this honey whiskey. He wants to know if he can drink it. He reached out to Evan Williams. They make a honey liqueur, and then they use the honey liqueur to flavor their honey whiskey. But how do they make the honey liqueur? They use not just the honey, they use some other ingredient. If one verifies that they do use honey, then honey does not need a hechsher. However, if one is unsure, then it's better to avoid, because if they're using some other ingredients to flavor like honey, then it should be an issue. Coffee. It was mentioned to me that some people have very recently had a coffee beer. I think coffee beer is, as far as I know, is almost always going to be kosher. If anyone drinks non coffee from whether it's from Starbucks or from McDonald's on the road, which is going to be mutter, according to most agencies, so then, well, 100%. The idea is that there are many coffee beers out there, and according to some organizations, that you should stay away from coffee flavored beers. Come at me with it. I don't know any of the issues with a coffee beer. The only issue is if they're adding lactose, which is the next on my list over here, is lactose. Lactose is a very complicated ingredient. There's a Sam Adams beer that's in their winter variety pack. It's called Chocolate Bach. Star K has come out that beer is kosher. It's dairy, but it's not chalav stam, and it's not chalav yisrael either. The reason is because, as we had heard a shir from Rabbi Blech, Olav HaShalom, Zuchayna Levracha, it's on the app, everyone should listen to it if you're interested. It's a very, very worthwhile listen. Lactose, there is no issues with chalav stam. It's mei chalav, and there was no gzeira on it whatsoever. The OU used to have the policy that lactose is kosher as is without anything. They've since rescinded, and they've gone away from that. The CRC says lactose needs kosher certification, the way it's produced, but it's definitely not a chalav stam issue. The question is lactose need to be kosher certified? I haven't, like the OU used to hold that it doesn't need to be, now they do. CRC holds that it does. I would say lactose is being made almost every brewery in America. It's just coming more and more common. I do know a couple of people have told me they've got friendly with the breweries, and they've gone behind the bar, so to speak, and they've seen the packages of lactose, and they did have ashgacha on them. So it could be that the lactose is kosher certified, but it's almost always going to be dairy. When I reached out to the Star K before they actually made this public about the chocolate bach, the Rabbi Rosen told me that he someone to say that lactose is parv. He said he doesn't want to go that far. I think everyone assumes that it's milchik, but just there's no issues of chalav yisrael or not. But the idea is that lactose is milchik, so one should definitely be careful if they're at a shalom zachar, let's say, and it's Friday night, there's shalom being served, and there might be a lactose beer there, and so it could be a real issue. That's something that one should be concerned with. Again, I don't know for sure. I think that we should assume, like the kosher organizations, that if there's lactose in a beer, one should avoid it unless they know for a fact that it's kosher, right? I'll just add this in here, that if you do find out the information by going to the brewery and seeing it, then of course you can drink it. No one's going to tell you otherwise. The idea is there's a lot of unknown. Another thing is chocolate. Chocolate can mean two things in beer. One of the ways they have the chocolate flavor is they add chocolate in its raw form, nibs. It's cocoa nibs, and that's mutter. It's mutter without hashgacha. And if you know that if there's cocoa nibs in it, then it would be fine to drink. Again, if one is nervous about these type of things, it doesn't have hashgacha on it, and it says chocolate on it, then you can avoid it. But if you do find out that it's nibs, then it's fine. But they also sometimes put in actual chocolate bars and real chocolate. Now, chocolate needs to be kosher certified. A lot of it in America is OUD, non-Chav Yisrael. Something to be concerned about. So that's really it off my list of flavors. Of course, they're always coming up with new and innovative things to stand out and be different. And one always should be extremely careful, especially, I'm going to emphasize this again, when they're at someone else, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a Shalom Zachar, it's a party, and people have their guard down because they think that they're being served kosher. And I don't want to put anyone in a bad light, but one should always be careful. Yes?
Is like Belgium, why can like Oktoberfest consider flavored?
So that's a very good question. So Oktoberfest is not considered flavored. Belgian white is flavored. All Belgian whites have orange peel added. It's another, that could be included in spices. So spices is another thing where a lot of the organizations say are an issue, because they can be putting in something that they say they are and they're not. Spices in and of themselves, all of them, if you go through the list on the kashrus organizations, are all okay without hashgacha. So if they're putting cinnamon, if they're putting an allspice or whatever it is that they might be putting into the beer, it's all okay. The question is, are they really putting that in or not? So that's the same question. If you can verify that they're putting in spices, then it's fine. Orange peel is like a spice, so if you can verify they're putting in orange peel, then it is fine. They also use coriander. Coriander is another spice. Again, if you can verify, one of the big examples of Belgian whites is Shock Top. Shock Top says it's made with orange peel and coriander. I personally would avoid Shock Top just because it's made by Budweiser and it's a huge brewery, and they're not necessarily putting in only that. They're putting in some other additives which can be problematic.
Most people can't verify it, so you're saying it's not recommended.
So you can either speak to a kosher professional or a beer professional or somebody who knows these type of things. Exactly, reach out to me. I have people from all over the country reaching out to me, and I'll tell you if I don't know. But the idea is that flavored beer, you have to know, unless it's kosher. Some, there are many kosher Belgian whites. I can give you a list of that as well if you'd like. So that would be a problem, but it's kosher certified, so it's not a problem. Yeah, but okay, thank you.
Years of the problem. Yeah. You are?